Well, good afternoon, and thank you for sitting down with me today.
Anytime.
For the record, can I get your name?
Sure, Rebecca Rogers.
Rebecca, thank you for enduring this interview process.
Pleasure.
Wonderfully terrible sunny day.
Oh, it's awful.
So, can I ask you, what made you choose Evergreen College?
That's a fantastic story. I did not go to college right out of high school because I did not believe that there was an institution that would live up to the standards of education I wanted, which means I did not want to take, like we were talking before, statistics. I am uninterested in that. I didn't want to take any higher math or sciences or anything like that. I had very particular things I wanted to take. And most boxed colleges and universities require that you take core classes. And I had no interest in that. So instead, I decided to live life. And I traveled the world, did all kinds of wonderful things, had amazing and bizarre jobs. And then I was talking with my best friend, who is an Evergreen alum. This was probably 5 or 6 years ago. And she said, Rebecca, you should just check out Evergreen. And I'm like, I'm totally skeptical. I was like, fine, I'll look into it and we'll see. And what they claimed to offer was a huge surprise for me. I couldn't believe that I could come to an institution and create my own path to a degree. And so I'm very interested in multimedia and performance, and that's what I've been doing with, you know, the option also, which Evergreen does beautifully, of these evening and weekend classes, of these small 4-credit classes that I can tack on to my main focus. So Evergreen, I came here because my best friend convinced me to just look at the website. And then Evergreen offers something very special. So I jumped on it, and at the age of 41, became a freshman.
Awesome. What's your experience been as a
non-traditional?
As a mature
college
student.
Sweet. I really enjoy the diversity of age ranges here. I learn a lot from interacting with young people, and then of course people that have more years on them than I do. It's I think a really great way to learn communication and tolerance, and to really develop like understanding skills. Like these people come straight out of high school, many of them, and they're talking a talk. I'm like, what does that word mean? Because it's not my lingo. So that's really, I mean, it's you know, it's a colorful campus we, you know, play on. And so that's been really fun. I have found that because I am of an age that that I am taken a little bit more seriously by faculty and staff and administration. So I've also advocated for younger people who did not have their adult sea legs yet and were, you know, unsure of how to handle things or, you know, if there's conflict or something. I've got this skill and the desire to be some kind of a bridge or a, you know, facilitator for, I don't know, whatever. It's many, many different scenarios over the last several years. But I love it. I love the diversity of ages.
Being part of the LGBTQ community, is there any challenges you face on campus?
Well, yeah, most, not all, but most of the folks in that community are the generation after me. So I'm certainly not looking for romantic relationships with them. Weird. But it's really, again, it goes back to sort of being able to, I've you know, been openly bisexual since, like, you know, the late 80s. Jeepers, that's a long time. And so, you know, I've dealt with a lot of stuff. I've dealt with, like, you know, people not being very nice. But I've also seen a lot of beautiful things. So I think I'm able to offer experience, my experience to these young people and help them out, and I've done so. But, you know, it's really a peripheral involvement. I'm not, you know, I'm not engaged in any of the, like, student activities organizations or anything. I support them and I applaud them, and it makes me smile when I, you know, see them have the, on Red Square when they set up the door. National Coming Out Day, I think, is what it is. And so folks can walk through, come out the door, and it's a joyful celebration. I love that. I mean, I think that's fantastic. And Evergreen is really tolerant and supportive and nurturing for that community, and that's a good thing.
It is.
Yeah.
Is there any people of influence here on Evergreen?
Oh, yeah. Faculty and staff that I have encountered and then intentionally built relationships with, because not every faculty meets my standards of an educator, and not every staff member meets my standards for somebody who should be on the staff, and that's everywhere, I believe. So the ones that I've run into that are life-changing and remarkable have been faculty first, and then once I started working for media services, there I have met so many staff members that are many of them are Evergreen alums, and then they love what they do, they're passionate about what they do, and they come back to Evergreen and teach it. Or they just never leave. They go from students to interns to, you know, part-time employees or something, and then they're part of the institution after years. And it's just magical. And there's something about that, those particular people that are the core of, they're the core of Evergreen. They're the ones keeping the ideals alive, because right now, to be very, very honest, Evergreen is not, it doesn't much resemble what it once was, and that's disappointing. However, there are these core group of faculty and staff that, you know, work really hard to keep the Evergreen dream alive, and I could list names of people that have just changed my, not just my academic life, but literally changed my life for the better.
Can you describe some of the changes that you've seen take place here at Evergreen?
Absolutely. It's, unfortunately, the institution is becoming very corporate and mainstream. And I have pretty strong feelings about this. Unfortunately, I think what lies at the root of it is that the, you know, back in the day, and when I say that I'm referring to anything leading up to, say, mid-90s at Evergreen, the students were really, really involved in the running of the college and the decision-making, and that has changed. And I'm friends with current faculty that have been around for decades and have seen this change, and former faculty members. I'm in touch with them about the changes as well. And it's really disappointing because we're still claiming to offer a lot of what Evergreen was founded on, but we don't really follow up on that. And there's a huge separation between the third floor of the library building where the administration, the main administration lives, and Red Square where the students are. And there has to be a bridge, and it has to happen soon, or things won't get better. They'll get worse until one of two things will happen. We just don't have enough money to run the college, or we become a less good version of something like the UW. You know, that is, I mean, they're already doing it right. They're great. If we're trying to be more mainstream, if we're trying to be a research college or a science and maths college, that's not what we're about. We're a liberal arts college. And so the offerings, I mean, so the problem is for me, budget decisions have not actively included student interests and ideals, and it is the administration's job to make sure that happens. It's not the students who should be like banging on doors saying we want to say in what happens with our money, because we're paying to go here. There's no college without the students, and the third floor works for us. So the third floor needs to be, if any decisions are coming up, they need to actively get as much input, and maybe there needs to be in place a certain amount, a percentage of input from students before these big decisions can be made, because we're losing too many of our support staff and faculty for arts, all across the arts, and that's really disappointing.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned you worked in the media services department.
Yep.
Can you, what are some of your redeeming parts of your job that you love about
it? Media services was a joy to work for. I remember the first time I was a freshman, and I was taking this class program actually entitled what the heck was it? It was Marilyn Freeman. She's amazing. Radical Amazement. And I took that class, and I'm like, they better fulfill that, because I'm looking for some radical amazement right now. And Marilyn Freeman is one of the faculty. She's no longer here, unfortunately, but she does video documentary stuff, and is amazing. And that was my first media class here. So we had to go to Media Loan to get equipment. And boy, it was like, that place was way too cool for somebody like me. Like, I was remarkable. I was a little nervous. I was like, do I stand behind this line and wait for somebody to like say, can I help you? And then I just realized it was kind of pretentious. It happens, though. It's kind of where all the cool kids end up. But I was like, I was still sort of impressed by it all. And then the next year, over the summer actually, I applied for a job at Media Loan, and I thought, no, there's no way I'm going to get in, because I'm just not that cool. Apparently, I was just cool enough. So I got hired on, and there were a couple of us that got hired at the same time, or a few of us, actually. And, you know, over then that next year, we were groomed to be leads, and then we were the leads for the following. I mean, it was just this wonderful progression of, if you want it, they can teach you the skills, but if you want more, you just have to go for it. And they supported that, and it was really lovely. Also, of course, Media Loan is where I got to meet all of the audio guys, all of the photography guys, all the video guys and gals. And it was just like, you know, that's where the frickin' media talent, like, yeah, that's just, it was the hub, you know? And so it was really exciting, and learning all of the equipment. That's probably the best, is like, you know, equipment, especially the newer technologies, it's intimidating. And having it surround you days and days and day, hours and hours and hours, and, you know, having to be proficient so you can teach other people to use it, that's a gift that place gives to people, I think, and certainly to me.
Awesome. All right, I'll ask you one more question, since we're standing out here, both fair-skinned and baking in the sun. Is there anything you would like to share with any potential Evergreen students that might be listening to this interview?
Yeah. I wish it were going to be brighter and sunnier, not literally weather-wise, but I just feel like ask a lot of questions. You can't believe everything that you read, even on Evergreen's website, and it's well-intentioned. We want students here. We need enrollment in order to keep this up. But if you're coming here to Evergreen because of something that inspired you from the materials that we're advertising through, you need to demand that. You can't take no for an answer, and you can't just say, well, I'm just a freshman, I can't make a difference. Every single voice on this campus, we're paying the bills here, yo. Like, we're, if not for us, there is no Evergreen. So it's just take charge of your education. I know it's a strange system having to do evaluations and things and no grades, but, you know, be a freaking example of somebody who wants to be here. Like, don't bail on classes because this is the hippie school. Forget that. If you're going to college and you're spending money to do it, take it seriously. Go to your classes. If you're not getting what you want out of it, you talk to your faculty. You talk to their dean. You figure out how to make it work for you because you're paying for it. And I highly recommend people actually do the evaluation process. I think it's really important for faculty and for the deans to make decisions about faculty by students sharing honest, well-thought-out information about whether or not the faculty are doing their jobs or if they're excelling. These people need to be acknowledged for that. And so it's a curious place to be, but if you're coming here, come here, be a part of it. And then also just, there's so much out here. There's so much. I didn't know the Arts Annex existed for the first 2 years, I think. And now I'm a woodshop aide. And like, I do metalworking. I had no idea. My path has changed completely because of Evergreen and what it has to offer. So get involved, stay involved, and ask a ton of questions and take charge of your own education.
Awesome.
Bam. Mic drop.
And she's walking away.
That's for the video.
Well, thank you so much for your time. And this was great sitting down with you and enjoying the sunshine.
Freaking awesome.
Hearing your story.
I'm excited to hear the whole project.
Actually. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks.